super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Marijuana, canubo, canapo, cannabis, conapkina, canamazo, canas. Oneb, hinab, hinni, hemp, hanap, cannabis indica, cannabis sativa, ganja, ganjika, ganjika. Ashisha, Ashish, Ashash, Ashaichi, Indrasens, Kia, Insangu, Kap, Kip, Kia, Kini.
I just felt like fucking doing that. So we opened the show with a little religiousness, and I apologize for being off the air, because in case you've had your head completely up your ass, our fearless leader, Todd Sheets, suffered a heart attack a week ago last Monday, and he is still in the hospital, and their complications have arose. Nothing life-threatening, thank God, but he may need a little extra surgery because, you know, typical medical profession fucked up. But I talk to him on a daily basis. He's doing okay. He's upbeat. He wants to come back. Trouble is, we don't really want him to come back. But anyways, beside the point. But anyway, I have my buddy here, Rob, from Movies Hate You. Welcome back to the Grindhouse, Rob.
Hey, it's been a long time, man. Thanks for having me back. Hey, can I curse on this show?
Oh, yeah. My show isn't PG. My show's NC.
Your show's R-rated, right? Well, no, what the fuck was that opening then? What was that opening music? I thought I was on a religious show by accident.
Oh, you know what?
Father Pete.
Yeah, that was off a Fugs album called It Crawled Into My Hand, Honest, that I have been looking for. I haven't heard that fucking thing in like 20 years, and I had the LP, and I gave it to Ken, and he converted it for me. But in the interim, we found out it was on eBay for $10, so I bought that too. So,
was that playing off of vinyl?
No, it's off the CD now. The vinyl.
I thought, what the fuck, when I heard it.
Yeah, really. It was called Marijuana. You know, something that's near and dear to my heart, as we all know.
What was that song, Marijuana, from back in the day? Have a Marijuana.
David
Gill on
the Lower East Side. Have a Marijuana. I got that too, but it's really, really fucking scratchy.
You never played that on this show.
No, I may play it next week, though. I don't know where it is. Otherwise, you know, I could indulge you. But
they don't play that song enough. I mean, I used to hear that when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And but you know, was already 20 years old then.
I mean, that was cool when that was 68, because he did that one for me too. One side of the album so fucking scratched up he couldn't do shit with it. But at least we got the Have a Marijuana and the Up Against the Wall Motherfucker off it. And then I'm listening to the rest and I'm going, wow, you must have smoked a lot of fucking weed back then to like this shit. It's pretty fucking grim. But
I think every album. Every one of those albums is beat to hell because it was so overplayed.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. But going back to our buddy, that came completely out of fucking left field. You know?
I thought it was a joke. I thought you were all playing a gag on me. Seriously, I did. And it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
We are all decrepit machines. We really are. You know, it's so it's just hanging by the balance at all times, man. So you got to take advantage of it.
And well, you know, I did. I had to do a lot of soul searching after this. And here was a guy who doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, you know, doesn't drink any alcohol, don't even drink a fucking cup of coffee, don't even take a Tylenol. And this happens. And here you have a guy who, you know, realistically probably drank an ocean of fucking cheap hooch over the course of his life, you know, smoked cigarettes on. Yeah, me. You know, smoked cigarettes on and off for like 40 years. Smoked most of Mexico and half of Colombia, and you know
you're like the Keith Richards of Jackalope.
Yeah, right. So then I was thinking about my life choices, and I said, you know something, good fucking choice. You know. So
so there would be no regrets if something similar. You just you know that was it. If the Keith Richards of Jackalope checked out, you'd be.
You'd be lucky enough to have me check out anytime soon because I already, you know, I already survived two murder attempts. I survived prostate cancer, even though, you know, there was, you know, like Todd's having now, you know, fuck ups after surgery. You know, so I don't know. I guess I'm pretty hard to fucking kill.
I think Todd's pretty hard to kill too. I don't think this is nothing. This is a little speed bump in his life and career, let me tell you, because nobody works harder. More hours than this guy.
I know. Maybe, you know, maybe his body's telling him, maybe you got to slow the fuck down. But,
I don't think we're at that age, man, where the body starts to talk back. You stop abusing me. You've abused me for too long, man. Hey, take it from I'm a workaholic, and I know Todd's a workaholic, and this has made me put the brakes on a few things in my life, you know, and I'm talking just too much, being involved in too many things, too many projects, too many other people's shows, and you know, I'm talking live shows and movies and releases, and it's made me say, hey, it'll happen, just relax, everything doesn't have to happen today. And it's good advice. I think Todd should serve as an example.
Yeah, well, I figured that out a while ago because, you know, like I said, part of my whole purpose of getting out of Jersey and getting where I am is to try to get by with doing minimal. You know, don't forget, I'm going to hit fucking 60 in September. I got like, you know, how many years I got on you guys? You know, 15, 18 years on some of you guys? So,
no, yeah, fuck it. 40 years on me.
I got 3 years on you?
40. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. You're 40? Holy shit, you're in decrepit fucking shape.
I'm only 20. Yeah, can you look at me? I'm terrible, horrible. Yeah.
Look at Keith Crocker. He still has all the hair.
We know
all his hair.
Yeah, Keith Crocker is only 19.
Yeah, I know.
Did you? You wouldn't know that looking at him.
I know. God, yeah. Doesn't look a day past 30. You know.
He looks a day past 60.
We got to stop breaking people's fucking balls. But you
he'll
know,
come on. We call him up. He'll come on.
Yeah, there is a donation thing. You know, there is a donation going on that we should mention, you know, trying to, you know, get, you know, because Todd don't have any insurance. Another situation.
I read on, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, you read, what is it? It's on the Jackalope Facebook page. That's how well fucking prepared I am tonight. And you can donate whatever you feel like donate to, you know, help Todd pay his medical bills and shit, you know, try to keep the station running because, you know, we've said it many, many times before. We don't make any money doing this, unfortunately, so there's no revenue stream. As a matter of fact, it costs money to keep this thing going. And, you know, Todd, you know, absorbs that. You know, he's the one who's laying out of pocket, you know, at every month, which I, you know, sometimes question my sanity and his, too. But, you know, it's his dream. He wants it to happen, and he's trying to make it happen. We're all going along. You know, we're not making any money, but, you know, hate to say it, boys and girls, but now it's time to pony up a little bit because this is going to be a fucking huge medical bill, you know?
It's not, you know, I think we're having a public television moment here, right? Where we say, if you enjoy Jackalope, if you've enjoyed listening to us over the years, I'm a newbie to this whole thing, less than a year, but Pete's been for years and Todd and Nightwatch. I think, you know, the reality of it is that we're all doing it out of the love for it and the concern and love we have for each other as friends, and we're all help each other out. And I think that people don't understand that this is not some big corporation or, giant conglomerate making money every 5 minutes. There are no ads, there are no advertisements, except whatever every show can muster up for themselves as a sponsor or something, where you might just get a few freebies or something. There's no money really changing hands. Now, Todd, if I read it correctly on Facebook, and you can shoot me later, but I think he gave up his personal health insurance so he could put more money into the station to keep it going at one point. Obviously, he didn't do this the day he had a heart attack, but yeah, this was months earlier, I'm assuming, so that he can keep the station going. Now, call it crazy, but that's dedication beyond what most of us are willing to do. And it's dedication to entertain people, and so that we all have a good time and we all have some kind of launching pad for our ideas and all our little separate careers and crazy things we're trying to do. So, I mean, seriously, if you send Todd $3, you're helping the station paying its monthly bills. And you're also helping Todd pay his damn bills, because you know that the corporations, the hospitals, they're gonna eat this guy up, and they're gonna be chasing him around. They're gonna be coming on our shows looking for money. They're gonna send those goons out.
With that here.
Well, I'm telling you, man, the hospitals will not give up. Will not give up. Still, even if he still had insurance, who knows what kind of insurance it was? It's all rigged, so that you know. You think that you have insurance, and then you find out, oh, well, you have a 20% deductible. Well, 20% of $500,000 for heart surgery is a lot of money. So
yeah, and then even
that deductible, they're going to come after you for. Even the best corporations here in beautiful New York City give you as the minimum they can give you. You know, and it's always some kind of deductible. You go to a doctor, it's going to cost you $50. Well, okay, it might cost $150 if not, but guess what? You've dedicated your life to some company, and you're working, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and all you're getting is a little bit of a discount. So imagine somebody who has nothing, that zero discount, zero help, but who's selfless. I mean, this is a selfless guy. And again, I don't want to sound like public television, but I think Todd needs us to stand behind him. He's not going to come out of the hospital and start saying, hey, guys, help me pay my bills. The station's going to go under if I don't pay this hospital bill, or if I don't get the, all the costs associated with this every month paid. He's not going to come out and say that. He's too proud to do that. And I respect that. But we have to do it for him, and we have to say, listen, send $5, man. Don't buy that extra beer. Send the $3 to Todd. Just one beer, one cup of coffee, one DVD, one whatever, one trip around the block with the prostitute in the old beat-up 78 Chevy like Pete does, Just don't do it 1 week. Send that $25. Well, I don't know the kind of hookers you hang around with, but
I don't
send
hang
that
around
$25.
With any anymore. I've yet to test the waters in Cleveland. Human trafficking.
Oh, jeez. Well, then that means you're going to get over, on a real cheap.
Well, nobody's dropped anything by my front door yet. I figure, well, fuck, who cares? I'm to the point, I don't even know anymore.
I think somebody should pay you to write a book or a DVD travelogue, Pete, where you go city to city and sample the street urchins.
Yeah, right.
And then you give like a rating scale of all the different hookers.
Here I am
city.
treating a White Castle hamburger for sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here I am.
Right, exactly. And you could rate it on burger, like this girl's three sliders.
This girl's three sliders.
This girl's two sliders.
That's really fucking
bad. Yeah. Well, anyway, so seriously, back to Todd. I mean, I don't, get on the, I think it's the Jackalope Facebook. I don't know the exact email address, which
yeah, well, it's on there. It's all over the Jackalope homepage. It's probably on the Jackalope website, and I apologize.
I don't think it is. I'm going on it right now. Let me go on it now.
There was a thing
rant.
Facebook. There was a thing on Facebook about it.
There was like last week.
Well, follow the fucking.
The only thing on it now is asking for positive waves and positive healing energy and prayers and all that, which that stuff can't hurt either. But nothing speaks louder than cold hard cash. it's like I love prayers and healing energy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, something, we may have a Todd-a-thon, maybe on a Saturday night. Maybe we'll see what happens by next Saturday. Maybe
I'll tell you what.
What?
but we have to, but let's do something comparable to what Todd put himself through here. Let's do a 24-hour Jackalope Marathon.
Oh, fuck you. We'll have 3 hours with that shit. I fucking
love it. We'll have hosts. No, but we'll all take turns. It'll be like one of these races where we pass the baton. So, like, you'll do 6 hours, and I'll come on.
I don't know. That's, you know, 2 hours would be long.
Yeah, but the worst thing is, like, on Saturday night, you know, somebody's listening to the show, right? And then we're talking about Todd, and then they just tune in at the last minute when we're not, and then it goes into, like, music for an hour, and they lost the message. I think 24 hours you're going to nail every Jackalope listener, no matter what genre they're into. I mean, there are people who can't stand the stuff that we do or what you do on your show, but they listen to the healing programs and stuff.
Even if we somehow did 3 hours and cracked it on an endless loop after that for 24 hours, that would work.
Just 3 hours. There we go. You know, like they do on public broadcasting. You know what I see them do? They'll take footage from like the 70s of like Victor Borga talking about how great public television is, and then they'll patch it into some kind of modern thing. And it's like, what? This guy's been dead for 25 years. How is he promoting public television today? It's almost like, you know, Tupac Shakur hologram getting on stage. We need a Tupac hologram to get some money for Jackalope.
Why a Tupac? How about a Biggie Smalls?
How about a Biggie Smalls and Tupac? That's how big Todd is. He needs two of the guys up there. Yeah. And get a Kurt Cobain up there, too, and a Jim Morrison.
Yeah. All right. And we're getting off track. I think we could do this for 3 hours. I'll have to talk to Amanda. Maybe we can rig it up. And I'll contribute a big box of shitty DVDs. I'll ship them up to the Jackalope headquarters where they can be, you know, if you pledge, you know, you pledge $1, you get a copy of Death Trance.
Great, a Blu-ray?
Yeah. No. I don't think I got any Blu-rays, but we have a lot of Death Trance. We also have a lot of Fleet of Doom, too.
But what about Geico Heaven? Do you have Geico Heaven? Is that the one?
Geico Heaven? No, I had to script them. I needed empty boxes.
Do you have any Gogardar collection? What?
No, I'm pretty low on stock. I'm actually buying shit now. It's ridiculous.
What is the hot title right now in DVDs, man?
There isn't any. I'll tell you. No, should I say this? I put the Interspecies
erotica. I would be careful.
Yeah, I better not.
Swedish erotica? What?
No, let's just say I put something up on eBay that it's already up to $24.95 and it should be up there.
It shouldn't be on eBay?
Yeah. It should be anywhere.
It's one of the is this an under the counter product or a brown bagger?
Yeah. The rare loss.
Is this way under the counter or toward the top?
Yeah, it's so fucking far under the counter you'd have to scratch a dog's balls.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so, if you have, well, I understand now you can't give out your screen name or any kind of information about it.
No, but I can somehow donate a couple to the Todd-a-thon, you know?
That's true, but let's hope somebody who's not listening into the, like, the Shaman show gets this under the counter thing who might not be interested in that and just wants to help Todd out. You know what I mean?
We'll see if we're doing a live Todd-a-thon day. I'll tell them exactly what it is, and it'll be like a $20 pledge.
This doesn't have anything to do with Japanese girls and eels or maggots or anything.
There's no eels. You know, there's no. Let's see. There's no scaly animals in it. Let's put it that way.
But there might be animals in it now. Human animals or otherwise.
There's a distinct possibility because, you know, on the box it said starring Porky the Pig, Mr. Ed, Lassie, and it's hosted by some asshole wearing a mask. That's all I know.
An asshole wearing a mask. Now, that could be any one of several wrestlers, maybe. I don't know. Who might that be? A man in a mask. Is it a ski mask?
A what?
Is it a ski mask? Are you going to jail for this? What is going on?
No, it's a luchador mask, I think. I don't know. I don't even know who it is. It's just somebody I know did it, so.
Some jerk.
You know, talking about DVD releases, we really ought to, you know, pontificate on something that you and I are involved in that we've sort of, you know, hinted about, but being that we're in, you know, editing stages and, you know, doing artwork and stuff, What happened was a couple years ago, I was talking with Sid Haig, and I proposed something to him called the shoot interview, and he didn't know what a shoot interview was. And for that, viewers that don't know, a couple of the wrestling DVD companies sell what they call shoot interviews, in where a wrestler does a Q&A and basically tells the truth instead of, like, you know, lying about shit. So, you know, Sid didn't know what this was, so I sent him a bunch of, you know, wrestlers that he knew, and he liked the idea. And we had attempted to do this at one convention, which became a total fucking nightmare and never going to happen. So while we were down at Saturday Nightmares back last June, we decided to do it, and I called Rob, and Rob got a professional camera instead of these little Mickey Mouse things that all these assholes think they're filmmakers doing. And we basically sat down with Sid, and I believe we have over 3.5 hours of footage, don't we?
There was a ton, at least close to 4 hours of candid Sid Haig talking about everything from his early career stage work all the way up to, of course, everything now that he's known for, exploitation pictures in the 70s, the 80s, action pictures, the dramas, of course, the TV Rob Zombie movies. Huh?
TV shows, all that other, you know.
The TV shows, just his experiences, but also, you know, in such a, I mean, he's one of the most humanistic guys, you know, that's not even the proper word, but he's so down to earth and really a good guy, and he has a real kind of spiritual sense to him. You know, there's something really complex happening behind the scenes there. He's just not kind of like, you know, an actor who's goofing around all the time or anything. You know, he's a very pretty deep guy, man. He's got a real connection to other people and his surroundings, you know, and the earth itself, you know. He's a really, really great guy.
Yeah.
So it's a shoot interview, right? It's basically we have this shoot interview with one of the legends of exploitation, B films, A films. He's done across the board. Jason of Star Command. Come on, he was the Darth Vader fill-in, right? And Jason of Star Command.
I mean, I basically sat down one you know, before we did this, and I went from soup to nuts. Anything I could think of that he had done. Anything, because we've had him on, you know, the show 2 or 3 times, and, you know, things he's touched on in the show, and we just got deep from his you know growing up to what brought him to the dance, to a lot of things that he, you know, people wouldn't really know about him, you know, and I'm not going to spill the beans right here, because, you know, whatever this price point comes out of, it's going to be well worth the money, because There's things you have never heard about Sid. I mean, you know, and Sid has been in, you know, some grade Z schlock, and he's also been in some A pictures too, as a supporting player. And just, you know, the way he was treated, you know, when, you know, he broached his ideas to, you know, certain people, and, you know, how he was received, you know, and just, you know, his whole coming up in general.
You know, the thing is, you know, this is something that's, you know, personally important to us, and I know you consider Sid a friend, he considers you a friend, and putting this together is not something anybody just gets that kind of access to him. You could talk to him at the conventions and stuff, but he really gave us, you know, basically, you know, full days of his life to put this together and work it out with him. It'll be something, you know, maybe it might be limited. He's going to have it at his table at conventions. You know, he'll be talking about it. But, you know, sometimes you wind up in line at these conventions, and you're in line for an hour to get to somebody, and you might have 50 questions, but you only go, hey, how you doing? Oh, I loved you so much. Thank you so much for being a great actor. Thanks for making me laugh. Thanks for making me scared, whatever. And then they're pushing you off because the next person's got to get their signature from the guy, and the guy obviously can't talk for an hour and a half to you or everybody that comes to the table, although he might like to, he can't do it. So this is a little more of an intimate kind of, like, if you happen to go up to his hotel room after the show and just had a conversation with him over a beer about his life and career and just kind of like whatever, we kind of just asked him as fans, hey, what about this? What about that? We're not academics. We're not running for PhDs here. We're not looking to out nerd somebody on the knowledge of, like, you know, who did the catering on coffee with Pam Grier? Did she eat a ham sandwich or a cheese sandwich that day? We don't care about that stuff. It's more about just a kind of an overview an overview of Sid, because there's a lot of work he doesn't get credit for that he did. There's a lot of there are decades of work that nobody talks about because they go up to him and they want to talk about the Rob Zombie stuff, which is cool. But this is a guy who's worked alongside pretty much every major actor in the history of Hollywood over the last 50 years. You know, he's gone up against Jack Palance. Yeah, I mean, it's just this is
he's
a guy
a Bond film,
who
you know.
Bond movies.
He spent so much time in the Philippines. I think he actually was, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he staying in a hotel for like 6 months out of the year over there?
Something I mean, when that industry was kicking and Corman was over there filming and there were other producers over there filming and the Philippine people themselves were filming, absolutely, man. He lived there.
Yeah.
He lived there. And you know, he's such an iconic look, you know, you see Sid once, he's etched in your brain forever. And to know that there's a lot more happening there, and there's more than just the Rob Zombie movies, there's more than just, I mean, there's so many, I mean, how many times as a kid, you know, I'm watching The Fall Guy, or I'm watching The A-Team, there's Sid, you know, I didn't even know his name, you don't even know who he is. Sid, you know, and then there's like kind of, I want to say, not this Hollywood type stuff, and there's stuff like Galaxy of Terror and movies that are just such classics and just insane that he lends this air of professionalism to that could have been just thrown away as like a junky B movie. It gives it this kind of legendary status that he's associated with it. And I remember him on Quincy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I think it was a heavy on Quincy. I mean, you know, Heart to Heart. I'm just hundreds more, and I'm just remembering my personal experience with Sid over the years.
Yeah, you see, that's where you got it over me because you were home watching TV. I kicked.
I was home.
He started doing a lot. You know, I caught the '70s, all the drive-in stuff up until a certain point, and then I guess he was doing more TV than movies. I mean, he'd pop up here and pop up there, but he's, you know, he wasn't like the onslaught, like, you know, the Big Dollhouse, the Big Birdcage, Coffee, Busting, Savage Sisters, Beyond Atlantis, all that other shit. That was like this whole big fucking rush in you know, the early 70s. And then I don't know what I was doing. I think I may have been working nights. That was the whole thing in the later 70s. So I was, you know, I'm fucking in New York and shit, so I never saw a lot of the stuff on TV. I knew about the Jason the Star Command. I knew about this. I knew about that. That's sort of what I lost, you know?
Yeah, but also, you know, when I'm a kid, I'm watching, because I'm a little younger than you, I'm sitting home all day watching Get Smart. Hey, he's on Get Smart. Watching Mission Impossible on Saturday afternoons after Martial Arts Theater. Oh, he's on Mission Impossible several times, you know? He's everywhere. It's just like every... You know, but also he's up against, you know, Ernest Borgnine, an Emperor of the North. You know, he's in a Bond movie. You know, he's working with you know, The Don Is Dead with what's his name?
Anthony Quinn.
Yeah. You know, he's working with the top people. He's in a George Lucas movie. George Lucas's first film.
Yeah, a TX whatever that was.
And THX 1138, right?
Yeah.
So he's in Che.
Che, you know, with Omar Sharif, and that was Otto
Omar Cohen. Sharif. Yeah. Jack Palance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, then he does then something iconic like Spider Baby.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like you can't. He's touched everything. He's everything that's burned. A Man from U.N.C.L.E. Everything that's burned in your head. He's a piece of it. And even if you don't know his name, even know who he was, you never met him, you don't go to these conventions, doesn't matter to you. You see, you just know that guy. You'll know him forever. It's just a boom. Oh, that guy. God, quintessential character actor.
Yeah, he was just up at, was up at Motor City Nightmares over the weekend. He was up there, well, he was already booked. They brought in Bill Moseley and Mike Berryman at the end. But again, his line was out the fucking door. I actually had to wait online Sunday to say goodbye to him because I didn't want to cut in because I was just hanging out the show. I wasn't, you know, a part of the show or set up. I was just like hanging out, but
he's so iconic and he's so popular, you know, and I think even without the Rob Zombie films, he would still be such a huge draw at his conventions because he's a character. You know, he's a character in life. He's a larger than life guy. Walks in a room, everything stops. Walks in a room, you want to know who is this guy? You know what I mean? He carries that. What would you, when you hear about actors, you know, you say, oh, well, you know, you knew when this guy walked in the room because everything kind of froze. And there's a presence that somebody like Sid takes over the air in the room, you know, in a good way, not in a negative way. And it's kind of like, wow, you know, this, I'm in the presence of something out of the ordinary. You know, I'm in the presence of someone who has a different command of reality than I do, you know, not to sound crazy, which I am, but that's all right.
Yeah.
But
well, no, you know,
Sid,
the thing was he needed to make those two films because he needed that shot in the arm. I mean, he popped up in the two Tarantino things, you know, just
absolutely Jackie thing. Brown, yeah,
yeah. But he really needed that shot in the arm, and that's what put him over at the convention, you know. And it's like you say, it's unfortunate that a lot of these young people just Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses. That ain't the end all be all. But
that's, you know, okay. You know, that's okay. I'm cool with that, in the same way I'm cool with like horror remakes, because I'm never going to get a 20-year-old to watch Che with Jack Palance, but I can get them to watch Rob Zombie, and if they like him enough, if they like Sid enough, they'll go back and look at that stuff on YouTube, or they'll go back and watch a trailer for it, and it'll keep it alive in some way. Plus, a guy like Sid, if it wasn't for the Tarantinos and the Rob Zombies using him and putting food on his table, how else would he, you know, what acting gigs, who's lining up to give him work now, you know?
Yeah,
it's kinda like
nobody was.
Hollywood used him up.
Yeah, that was
Hollywood used him up.
Yeah, well, that was the whole thing. Even when I was back with Chiller and they were looking for guests, I says, why don't you see if you can get a hold of Sid? And they were like, oh, I don't know. I don't think he would even do anything. That was, you know, then the minute he hit, you know, House of a Thousand Corpses, bang, oh, yeah, bring Sid in. But
right.
I think he would have done well anyway, you know?
I think he would have. I think there's a generation a little bit higher up, like our generations, who would go to who wants to meet Sid the same way you want to meet John Saxon. But the truth is, from a filmmaking perspective, Sid is part of the old Hollywood. You know, he's part of that the generation that's passed. So he has to, you know, he has to find these oddball roles and these little things here and there. And the filmmakers who grew up watching that stuff, like us, if we became filmmakers, we'd have Sid in our movies.
Yeah.
You know, the same way they're doing it. So, and you can't, you know, unfortunately, you can't say, well, Sid Haig's going to star in this thing, you know, for Tarantino, because they're going to say, well, who's Sid Haig? You know, he has to put, you know, De Niro in his movie or Sam Jackson or something, but then have Sid come in as a backup guy. So, you know, That's just the business end of it. That's unfortunate, but I'm glad that he did those Rob Zombie films and that he gets lines going around the block to throw him a little, you know, don't like to say, oh, you were giving him money, but you're paying him respect. He's done for you. Now you're giving him a little tribute, so to speak. It's not, you know, here's a tribute for, you know, think of it as a religious experience. It's a tribute to somebody who has enriched your life, instead of looking at it as, well, hey, he's getting $20 for a signature. Yeah, because he has to eat, because he spent his whole life trying to entertain and educate you, and now, you know, we have to pay him back a little bit somehow, every way we can.
Yeah,
same way, to segue back to somebody else who needs tribute, Todd Sheets needs a little tribute. And Jackalope, you know, needs a little tribute.
Yeah, but, you know, like going back to Sid, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's the end of the road for him, because he wasn't doing anything for a while, and he just was getting sick of getting, you know, the shit rolls, you know, the pointing the gun at everybody in every scene, you know, a la Lee Van Cleef, which is the reason Lee Van Cleef bailed out for a while till they got, you know, better stuff. But, you know, the man's a damn good actor, and he could carry a picture. It's just, you know, the powers that be, you know, don't see that as we see it. But
right, exactly. And look, this is the way it worked out, you know? It's the way it played out for him. You know, he's an elder now, and, you know, this is the way it played out for him. He's not going to be, you know, the leading romantic guy right now. You know, he's in a different stage in his career and his life. So he's doing what he can, and he's doing good work still to this day, which most guys his age are retired sitting in Florida somewhere. So he's out there. Yeah. He's out there still hitting it because he loves people and he loves working.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, what more, you know, he's happy as a pig in crap, you know. He's doing it and meeting. And that youth keeps him young. Meeting these 20-year-olds. He's meeting a 20-year-old with a tattoo. A kid that wasn't even a random thought in the universe, you know. when Sid was in his heyday, and he's got a tattoo of Sid's face on his arm. The 20-year-old kid walks up to him. I mean, that, what kind of feeling must that give you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're larger than life. You've transcended just going to work and getting a paycheck. You know, that's Sid. And you know what? This is probably the only show on Jackalope that has talked about Sid Haig the whole show and not had Sid on, because Sid Sid's a regular on this, on the Jackalope station. If not for Todd, then for Sid, throw $20 to the station.
Yeah.
Let's make this work. Let's keep this going.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're hopefully going to have this thing out in time for Sid's appearance at Horror Realm in September. Hopefully.
We are working on it. We are working on it. Yes, it is. It is a pet project of. Out of love, and it can't, you know, it just, sometimes these projects just, you don't seek them out, they just come to you, and you want to give them the proper, you know, it's not like, sometimes you just throw out something, sometimes you just throw something together and say, okay, you know, let's try this, but, you know, you want to give something like Sid, you want to give it the proper respect, and you want to make sure it's right, you just don't want to toss it together and get it out there, he deserves more than that, you know, and it's, this is officially endorsed stuff. It's not unauthorized or unofficial.
It isn't like we went to a convention and, you know, I stood behind Rob with the camcorder. Well, he asked a bunch of questions and we just fleshed it out.
Right, exactly. People have done that. Wait, who did that? Who did that? I heard somebody was it Romero or somebody?
They always walk up to like a couple celebs and ask them, you know, how they feel about a certain guy or a certain film or something like that, and then they always put that in the box of the DVD featuring blah, 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 yeah, for 30 seconds a piece. Because I did the thing for the second thing of Mad Ron's Previews from Hell, and I did two movies, and I don't think it runs 30 seconds. But I'll be on the box, you know? I'll be on the box. You know?
Do you get a royalty, a penny? For that, or
I just want a copy of the DVD. That's all.
What do you got coming out? Where can we buy some of your new DVDs? I want to see some of the new stuff you're putting out.
Do I got anything coming out?
I'm
working on two things. And ain't nothing's in the pipe. Nothing's in the final stages, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, the last four releases were, Night at the Venus. Extreme Bondage Collection, Extreme Sleaze 3, and that one with the playing card with Ushi. I'm done. I don't even know my own shit now.
Do you have any not so extreme bondage? You know what I mean? Like for somebody who's just starting out, let's say actually, they don't want to go right to the. No,
actually, the extreme bondage collection is non-penetration. It's okay. More. Well, you know what it is. You got to throw a certain spin on this shit to make it more, you know, saleable. But the thing with this was when I ran it by you know my partners up there, you know, the company and stuff, and I was trying to get it into mainstream. I figured because there's absolutely no penetration, it's just like chicks being tied up and being put in weird situations and shit. But there's absolutely positively no fucking, you know. So they, you know, the big thing was the ball gags, and I says Hostel has ball gags in it, so. Yeah. You know, going back and forth. Well, it went out, you know, the way it is with, you know, Extreme Bondage Collection. But, you know, it's not like the hardcore German shit, or it's not like, you know, the Avon shit or anything like that. It's tastefully done. It's professionally shot. So, you know.
So who now, you had nothing to do with these Uncle Farts.
No, they're not mine.
They're coming out. No. That's not you.
Oh, give me a break. I got more.
Uncle Fart. Is that your competition, Uncle Fart? I mean, if your competition is Uncle Fart, and it's coming out of the same studio, so I thought maybe you had a hand in picking some of the stuff. Or
oh, no. There's nothing sexual about farts. We all know that. I mean, unless you want to be one of those chicks wearing the fucking gas mask shoved up some dominatrix's asshole.
Yeah. Uncle Fart.
Ain't nothing sensual about that shit.
I somehow think the Uncle Farts brand is not going to last as long as the 42nd Street Pete brand.
Didn't some, you know, I'm not knocking them. I never will knock them. But remember somebody...
No. They can all live together. I just think it's funny. There's a guy named Uncle Farts, like a cartoon guy.
The other idiot out there, there was two guys that tried to knock me off. One idiot was, I can't think of the other one, but one was 42nd Street Peeps.
Peeps. Yeah, that was that a guy? Was that a person? He was 42nd Street Peeps.
No, it was just they were just trying to snag. You know, okay, everybody will see 42nd Street and then with the P, and they're like, you figured they were just going to grab it on that. And I'm like, yeah, sure. The shit wasn't even professionally transferred. It was like shot on a wall and then camcordered.
There was one, what was the eight? I think the 8mm Madness Volume 1 just went back into re-release, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I thought I saw that coming out through MVD.
Funny part I just saw that on oldies.com.
Yeah, I think it was re-released through MVD. I think some of your older stuff is getting a second life.
It's on oldies.com. Do they have any fucking clue what...
Well, those loops are oldies, man. That qualifies. They're oldies but goodies, as they used to say.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. Shit, man. It's better than watching The Avengers, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't seen The Avengers. I wanted to
see... I'm just kidding.
I want to see Cabin in the Woods. That's what I wanted to see.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I still can't... You know, I've been kind of half-acidly... scouring the Jackalope Facebook page as we're talking to try to get an email. I don't know, maybe Amanda or somebody took it down, but I'm trying to get an email where people can send a tribute, a monetary love letter, a little kiss of greenback to Jackalope, and more importantly, Todd and Todd's family, and then for Todd's health. But I can't find I can't find something up here, so I don't want to be sending people to the Facebook page for Jackalope. So Jedi Superstar at kc.rr.com. So we can go right to PayPal, and then from PayPal you can send a tribute to the Jedi Superstar himself, Todd Sheets, and Jackalope family.
8x10 of him in his Batman suit.
I'll tell you what, if you send $1,000, Pete will come to your house, and he will come at your house.
Who?
To your collection of adult films. He will sit there and watch your collection of adult films for a $1,000 donation.
No, I already said I'd shave my head, you know, on tape for a $1,000 donation and basically put the tape on YouTube, humiliating as it might be, and then I'd basically send them the bag of hair, and they could sell it on eBay for $1,000.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
See how I put out for you, Sheets? My God.
What about if you shave your head for $1,000, what would you do for a $10,000 donation to Jackalope and Todd Sheets Get Well Soon Fund?
What would I do?
For $10,000, what would you do? What would you shave?
I would have to make fucking $10,000 to do anything else myself. What else would I shave? What else is there to shave? My nuts, you know?
I'll tell you what, if you can give a $25 donation, I'll come over and shave your head, whoever you are, if you donate $25.
Well, I don't know.
Notice how I flip it so I don't have to shave my head?
Yeah, well, I ain't got that much left to fucking go, so I figured what the hell.
Pete says, 42nd Street Pete says, if you donate $42, he will match it with $42 of his own money.
Oh, no, don't fucking go that route. People will do that.
Limit one person. So if one person donates $42, you will donate $42. Yeah, imagine we say that, and then 1,000 people donate $42.
I don't think there's 1,000 people out there that really hate my ass that much to pony up $42 to fuck me, but there might be a couple.
Oh, I see. Well, maybe there's 1,000 people out there who are nice enough and want to see your show continue and see Todd Sheets be well again and be with us here on the air, that they would pony up $42.
Yeah, that's a nice 42 thing, you know.
I'll put 42.8 cents, because it was 42nd and 8th, right? So 42.8. Yeah. So $42.80 will get you a match from Pete. Now the email Jedi Superstar, Jedi like Star Wars.
Match, I'll tell you what, you know, if they were to do that, I'd send them one of my DVDs.
There you go.
You know?
Just put in the PayPal subject line, put 42nd Street Pete donation. Put that in the subject line of the PayPal. So that's Jedi Superstar, Jedi like the Star Wars nonsense.
Well, you know, they'll screw it up then. Maybe the money won't get to Todd. Because PayPal has a dicky thing of season accounts they think are fraudulent, with charity.
Well,
and
I don't.
Stuff.
I don't. Nah, I don't think this is not a charity, man. This is a show of support for a radio station.
I will be singing. We are the Todd. We are the
Jedi. We are the weird. Yeah, we are the weird.
We are the Jedi.
Okay, so Jedi Superstar at kc.rr.com and send over. Seriously, we want to send over a buck. Send over a buck. Every single dollar will help the station. And I wouldn't be here. Pete wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Todd.
If I send over a buck, PayPal will take a 30-cent transaction fee and 3 cents on top of that. You lose 33 cents.
But it's still, it's a 73 cents to the station. You know, we got to help out here as much as we can. I know everybody that listens to my show is a wino, degenerate gambler, movie nerd. I don't know who's listening to the Grindhouse here, but I think they have a couple extra dollars
because they're characters. We got a lot of people down in south. You know, we got Cool Ghoul from he's in China, and we got Tim Merrill.
Man, send some of that Chinese money over here, man. China's doing better than the U.S. right now. Get some of that Chinese money over here. That's what we want. Yeah. Send some Chinese over here too, and some egg rolls. Get Todd needs all the help he can get.
Yeah, I could use egg rolls or healing.
Yeah, egg rolls work. Oh, wait, no, those are fried. He shouldn't be having fried food.
That's why he's got
baked.
That too.
So send some baked egg rolls. I want to get some steamed broccoli. This is what he's going to have, steamed broccoli and brown rice. That's what we're talking about now. That's where we're going with this. No more egg rolls. None of that deep-fried, fake Chinese food. No, you ever go to a real Chinese restaurant where people are eating? They're never eating the shit that they sell us when we go to the corner store and buy Chinese food. They never eat. They're eating like friggin' bok choy with brown rice and all healthy looking stuff, and then they give us like slopped up like fried pieces of chicken with like eight miles of breading on it, and then you know you get that. It's like deep fried rice. It's all black on the bottom. It's like that's what we get. They're killing us.
Yeah, I found a good one up here, though. They had, like, all kinds of good shit.
You never see, except the people working there, you never see Chinese people ordering Chinese takeout. They go to the restaurants, like, in Chinatown, and you see them, and there's, like, fish heads and shit in the bowls, like, stuff. How come that's not on our menu? It's like you get a separate menu.
Yeah.
Hell no. They're smarter than us.
I want fish heads.
That's why they're winning.
Yeah. Fish heads up on rice.
So we got Todd Sheets, Jackalope, we got Sid Haig, we got your new films re-releasing coming out, oldies.com. we're like my grandfather shops for DVDs and CDs.
There's only the one volume on there. I'm wondering if they know it's, I'm not going to say fucking shit, the hell with it.
Oldies.com, where not only is the content oldies.com, the people buying it are the oldies too. It can't hurt, man. You know what? There are perverts of all ages and colors and persuasions, man. So you know what? You're gonna get some orders. I think that's gonna be a winner. Now, Night of the Venus, that came out in like December, right? Was that the?
Yeah, all this stuff came out like toward the end of last year. Night of the Venus is three good films. Flesh of the Lotus, Teenage Fantasies, and The Horny Landlady. All stars, too. You got Holmes, you got Vanessa, you got Sharon Mitchell, you got Renee Bond, you got Bobby Astor. All kinds of shit, so that's a good one.
What's the one you do with Annie Sprinkle? Was that the... That was an 8mm thing, right?
Yeah, it was an 8mm.
Busty one?
Yeah. I might have something rare coming in, actually. I don't know,
I think that's one that's been re-released. The part 7, I think it is, or volume.
The one with the yellow
cover? I think that. Yeah. I think that came out last month. Re-release. I'm saying.
DVD.
Now I say re-release because in the distribution business, you're not when you're putting out DVDs, you're not dealing with 50 different distributors. You know, as a studio, you have a distributor that you mostly work with. Like some people work with. You know, E1, some people work with MVD, some people work with, you know, ABC, whoever. So sometimes you can have one life with a release with one distributor, but then maybe that kind of dies out and you could take it to another distributor or multiple distributors if the contracts are in your favor. You can have multiple distributors putting out the same product. So, you know, these things sometimes get a second life. So it's good to see some of your older titles from a couple of years back getting some new play and meeting a whole new audience, because every distributor deals with different stores. You know, of course, they all deal with Walmart, but then there are mom-and-pop stores and catalog companies and all kinds of stuff that some deal with and some don't.
My shit ain't
Walmart. Who the hell cares? Why am I talking about this? Who cares?
I don't know.
Who cares? Stop me when I do this stupid shit.
We just went on this tangent. I was like, okay, this is how it works. Why the fuck do I care? Because I was just smoking a fucking joint before. And like,
who the hell cares? I need a joint. What the hell? Stop me. Stop me. Say, hey, this is not the Movies Hate You show. You can't ramble about nonsense nobody cares about. This is the Todd Pete show.
Yeah, that's
where Todd hijacks the show.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, here, you know, in the, you know, what's coming down the road as soon as, you know, shit gets back to normal, I know Gary Kent wants to come back on, and I think we're going to try to get John Cardos on with him and have, like, an original Sons of Anarchy thing going on.
And, how awesome is that?
Yeah, 2 minutes, okay. I talked to Michael Berryman about coming on, and he wants to come on and put over some stuff, so...
awesome, dude.
Yeah,
awesome,
so
dude, man.
Got a couple of things coming on, but I just got the 2 minute warning thing, so we're gonna sign off right now. Keep looking at my Facebook page, and we'll let you know what's coming up with Todd, whether we're gonna have a Toddathon or not, and hopefully things will be.
We're gonna do it.
So, yep, until there,
Jedi superstar.
Yes, thanks for coming on, Rob, and till next week. Stay sick. Bop bop a loo bop a lop bam boom.
H.G. Lewis, Andy Milligan, John Carpenter, George A. Romero, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the ghastly ones, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS, all those hot, horny mistresses guaranteed to dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself a seat on Saturday night. The boom.